Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to all of you. We have a concert here next Sunday at 3:30. It's in the notice sheet, but tickets are £7, and we still have some tickets left if you're interested. So please speak to us after the service. There's some flyers at the back of church. Please take one. But Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, will be speaking at the NEC in June. And we're going to organise a bus from here to pick anybody up who would like to go. And it's all completely free of charge. So please take one of these, and we'll be telling you more about it as the date gets closer. I believe there's a couple of slides in terms of notices. So we've got Family Quest.
Quest family.
Today, at 3:30, we'll be talking about the importance of remembering. And then we've got a charity plant sale on the 27th of April. I'm here from 10 to 12. And there'll be children's toys as well available at that charity sale. So please come along and support that. I also need to publish some bands of marriage for Andrew and Jenny, who are here this morning, and Tony and Jane, or Anthony. So I published the bands of marriage between Anthony Alexander McKnight and Jane Elizabeth Allen of the parish of Shard End. I also published the bands of marriage between Andrew John Higgins and Jenny Lisa Wardshaw of the parish of Castle Bromwich. This is for the first time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now. You're okay. In which case, I'll say a prayer for you. So, Father, I lift up Anthony and Jane, Tony and Jane, and Andrew and Jenny. And we thank you for the gift of marriage. And Father, I do pray you bless them now on their marriage day and in the years that follow, Lord, that their marriage will always be full of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to hand you over to Tony.
Just add my welcome to you all again this morning. Let's open with our prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you love the people of this world so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. It's not our power, but your grace that sets us free. Help us by your Holy Spirit to offer worship and thanksgiving, and to have open hearts and minds to hear your word that you have for us today. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say a welcoming prayer together. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the stranger into this place so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. So our first song this morning, please, if you're able, please stand. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies.
Raise a hallelujah.
sing a little louder.
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 Be seated as we pray for our young people. Heavenly Father, you are the source of love and grace that transforms the world. May our young people know your transforming power in their lives. Bless the young people and leaders as they go to their groups. May they grow in the goodness of your kingdom and shine as lights to their mates and school friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, off you go. Have a good time. let's quieten our hearts as we come to time of confession. Heavenly Father, may we receive your light so that we see clearly our sinfulness. May you shine your light in our darkness. Forgive us where we have taken offense at words said to us and replied with demeaning words, where we have neglected to help others in need. We are truly sorry, Lord, that we have displaced your grace in our lives. Thank you that you hear our confession and forgive us. May our ways not disappoint you. May they delight you as we walk in your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a series of three songs, so please stand if you're able, but if you wish to sit during this time, please do so. You died in my place, bore my disgrace.
Thank you. Would
Thank you that you calm the storms in our lives. And we thank you that you have claimed us as your own. We are yours. Amen. 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 Please sit down.
The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, "Why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. Feel me, and you will know. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." He said this and showed them his hands and his feet. They still could not believe. They were so full of joy and wonder. So he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of cooked fish, which he took and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Short prayer. Our Father God, we thank you that you're present, and I pray, Lord, that for each one of us here there'd be a witness of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds during this reflection and during this service, Lord. Amen. So the events we've just heard were taken from the day of the resurrection, the day our Lord rose, never to die again. And I just want to make 3 points before focusing on my third point. For most of the disciples, with the exception of Peter, this is the first time they have seen Jesus since his resurrection. So perhaps we should be a little sympathetic with these men who believe it might be a ghost. They've seen him butchered, slaughtered, put in a tomb, haven't they? They're not expecting to see him alive. But it is clear from this passage that Jesus is alive and that he is in the same body. Sometimes this is contested, but he is in the same body that was put in the tomb, that was there on Maundy Thursday at the Last Supper. And he says, "Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Look at my scars. Look at the scars where the nails went in. Touch me. Touch my flesh. Feel my bones. See me. You can't look through me." And then, to prove a point, he eats. He eats broiled fish. So this is the Jesus who has been with them for the last few years. He's not in a tomb. He is alive. He is breathing. Blood is pumping round his body, round his resurrected body. Jesus is alive. Amen. Thank you, John. And my second point, Jesus says, Everything must be fulfilled. That is written about me in the law of Moses. And what came home to me as I reflect on this is something I don't know that we all have. Is that Jesus has such a high regard for the scriptures. Everything must be fulfilled. That's written about me. Jesus, who is God, the creator of the universe, he who is above all things, he who has no beginning, he who has all authority and power in the universe, he sees this book as authoritative. He has respect for the Bible. If Jesus does, then so must we. I think that's where some Christians go wrong today. Some of us deny the authority of the Word of God. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, daily to read the Bible, digest it, interpret it with integrity. Don't let it say what you want it to say. Let it speak for itself. And obey it. And then my third point, which I want to focus on. The Messiah, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. Jesus has made a way for us to be forgiven through his death and resurrection. So I want to ask this morning, have you truly repented of the sins that separate you from God? Those of you who were here on Easter Sunday, at the point of his death, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, meaning that it's dealt with. Our sins have been dealt with. What separated us from God has been dealt with, so that those of us who repent will be forgiven. So have you repented? I think that is the question of all questions, isn't it? Can you think of a bigger question? I mean, so much depends on your answer. I enjoy watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Now, I know that for some of you, the current presenter might be, people have different views on him. But I like him, and he's made in the image of God, but that's a subject for another day. But sadly, I rarely know any of the answers. My knowledge is appalling. So I would not want to go on that show, because I'd leave with nothing. But if you get 15 questions right, you get £1 million. So someone got this question wrong, and I want to see if you're more intelligent, because this poor man went home with nothing. Which is the second month of the calendar year to have only 30 days? You get a choice: February, May, June, or September. Did someone give the answer? June. Was that you, Nigel? I've got £1,000 for you. I'll see you afterwards. More is at stake, though, here. Not £1 million. The value of the whole world, someone suggested, it's worth $650 trillion. That's a lot of money. But Jesus says, what good will it be for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul, yet die? So I ask again, have you repented of the sins that separate you from God? Tom goes to see Father Peter for confession, and he lists his sins and he's sorry for them, and he leaves feeling a little bit better, a little bit lighter, but he's got no intention of living a different way, so he spends the week doing exactly what he did last week. And that's what happened. He goes back a week later and confesses exactly the same sins. Do you think Tom is truly repentant? Fred goes to see Father Peter for confession. He too is sorry, lists his sins. He leaves feeling better, but he's got an intention. He wants to live life better. Goes back to Father Peter a week later, and he does list some sins, but Father Peter has noticed progress in this man. Do you think Fred is truly repentant for his sins? I think that's more likely to be yes. Now, this one's more difficult to answer. Jack goes to see Father Peter for confession. He too lists his sins, he's sorry for them, and he leaves feeling better, but with the intention and with the intention of living better. But a week later, he returns and he's committed exactly the same sins. And so the cycle continues with no progress. Do you think Jack is truly repentant for his sins? Well, an argument for yes would be this. We're not measured by results, are we? We're measured by grace. We live under grace. And if he was truly repentant, he'll be forgiven. An argument for no. Well, it's right that our salvation is not dependent on works, yes. It's right that we live under grace. But if someone is truly repentant, will there not be evidence in their life? Where do you stand? I'm going to try and define the word repentance now. The Greek word, which I'm going to try to pronounce, is matuneo. It's in Luke 9 times. It's translated repent, but both the noun and the verb form, and it signifies a change of mind. But the commentator I looked at said this: it's more than just an intellectual change of mind. Rather, both terms refer to a change in one's way of thinking that results in different beliefs and a change in the direction of one's life. So based on that definition, maybe Jack isn't repentant because there's no change in the direction of his life. Let's just remember this. If we are truly repentant, we've got someone helping us, haven't we? God, the Holy Spirit, is helping all Christians, those who are truly repentant, to live better. I haven't mentioned my good friend, have I? So I better mention him. Wayne Grudem. His definition: repentance is a heartfelt sorrow for sin, a renouncing of it, and a sincere commitment to forsake it and walk in obedience to Christ. Sorrow for one's actions is not sufficient. I used to be sorrowful when I woke up with a hangover, but that is not sufficient. It must be accompanied by a sincere decision to forsake sins, commit to God, and walk in obedience to God. I feel a little like I'm walking a tightrope, because on the one hand, we can't say that someone has to live a changed life to be truly repentant. Because if we're saying that, we're saying that salvation isn't by grace alone. We're saying they've got to do works to be saved, aren't we? But on the other hand, if someone is truly repentant, it will be demonstrated by the way they live their life. So for the last time, I'm going to ask my question. Have you truly repented of the sins that separate you from God? Know this. If you do repent today for the first time, God will forgive you. His death is sufficient for your sins. There's only one response you'll ever get from God the Father, isn't there, if you're repentant? I forgive you in my Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this will please you as I'm standing here. I count myself amongst the repentant. And yes, I still see sin in my life, and it grieves me. Though by the grace of God, I am not the man I was some 30 years ago, and I praise God for that. And I thank God for what he's done in me and what I hope he will continue to do in me. So to those of us who are repentant, Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. If you are repentant, you are a witness. You have a story to tell of what God has done for you. So go from here and witness. Witness that the penitent person will be forgiven and know eternal life by the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
So a collection will be taken during this next song. So please stand if you're able.
Christ will hold me firm.
Let us pray. Sorry, no.
Heavenly Father, accept these offerings in the bowl and those made through the bank as a gift of worship to you. We offer these monies to you for the abundant blessings you have bestowed on us. May they be used for the proclamation of your gospel and the building up of your church in this place and the surrounding communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please sit down as we have our prayers.
Christ will hold me fast. This is the truth that God alone watches over us and sustains our faith. Whatever we face, God will hold you fast. The response today will be, Amen. The Lord will hold me fast. Amen. The Lord will hold me fast. Lord God, you created a beautiful world for us to live in and to care for. We know that in many areas our stewardship has been a failure. Yet through the victory of Jesus Christ, we know also that you can restore all things in glory. And so we pray for a change of heart and attitude, an awakening to a better way of living, and the courage to reject wrong principles. We pray for parts of the world in turmoil, through war, natural disasters, poverty. We think of those this morning affected by the stabbings in Sydney. And we bring to mind countries and our own hearts. We lift all these countries to you, Lord. We pray for peace, provision, and protection. Lord, hold them fast. Amen. The Lord will hold me fast. Father God, we pray for our parish, that each of us might make use of our individual gifts, enabling each church group to flourish as a witness to the one body of the church. Help us to spread the warmth of your love to everyone we meet. We especially pray for all residents living in Church Avenue this morning. Amen. The Lord will hold me fast. Loving God, we pray for those who do not share our Easter joy, especially those living in the shadow of darkness and despair, and for those who are ill. We especially pray this morning for those that have requested prayer, for Steve, Sheila and Ben Record, for Trixie and Malcolm, Glenda Hadfield, Jeff Shrimpton, for Carol and Tony Truman, for Peggy Farley, for Sally Judd, for Eileen Fowler, for Anthony, for Nigel and Serena. And in the quietness of our own hearts, we raise before you those we know who are also in need. Amen. The Lord will hold me fast. Faithful God, in the week that lies before us, may we reflect your love in our families, our church, and our community, so that the world can see that we are followers of Christ and children of the Most High God, and draw others into his loving care. Help us remind ourselves that you will be there for us, holding us fast. You alone will be our salvation. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord will hold me fast. Sing the chorus of the last song.
Please stand for our final song. There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb.
Thank you.
Remain standing as we come to the blessing. We ask for your blessing, Heavenly Father. Lord, pour out your favor upon us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. May your peace be upon us and your joy be our strength. As we walk into the week ahead, bless our paths and keep us safe. May your light shine through us, that others may catch a glimpse of your love and come to know you and experience your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So please join us for refreshments next door.